This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, March 12, 2017. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything that you'd like to talk about that relates to your health. Prevent, you've had a problem, you've tried, you've applied, and come up with the same thing that doesn't work. You know, well, let's do something different. Let's put you in a direction that you might actually be able to resolve a problem without, you know, having to take all those medications you get at your local pharmacy. Well, there are ways of making that happen. Call me, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Let's talk about you and what needs to go, you know, in the proper direction instead of maybe the direction that you've been taking up until now. Got a lot to talk to you about today. There's so many things that are happening besides the snowstorm that's coming, unfortunately. I thought we were going to skid through this year and say, oh, we made it and it's going to be a beautiful spring and just tease a little bit and maybe have a snow flurry, but not so much. Get the snow shovels out, everybody. But you know what? I'm going to be at the office no matter what this week because that's where I'm supposed to be because I need to help you. And if you need anything, you're going to call us, right? And all the docs there are going to step up. And, you know, even if we have to call out the dog sled to get you in, we're going to make that happen. 888-630-9625. So it's an interesting time. Spring's coming. At least we thought it did. And the pollens were already hitting. We had all kinds of patients coming in with stuffy nose. And I don't feel good. And I'm tired. And my body's not working the way it's supposed to. You know the drill, right? Many of you are suffering from already. We're going to touch a little bit about springtime allergies and give you some remedies that might help, but also get you to understand that it just doesn't happen. And we're going to talk a little bit about epigenetics today. That means that how your environment, meaning your physical environment, your biochemical environment, your emotional environment, changes the expression of your genes and your life patterns and how long you live and the strength that you have. And, you know, for those of you who listen to me, over a period of many, many years, know that my belief system is that as long as you're breathing, you can change anything and you can make things much better. Things begin to evolve and begin to change simply because that you decide to make a decision to do something different than what you're doing now. That's cool, right? Well, the truth of it is that the current studies of epigenetics, the means of stimulating your body to do something different than what it is, bearing that out. It's really straight up. So let's talk a little bit about those things. But before that, I want to get into something that I read an article. I always get into these, you know, these quick medical pathways and, you know, see what's new in the medical arena because I always have a commentary, as you know. And this one, study that I read this week, some doc with very, very limited amount of background experience said, you know, vitamin D is one of those things that's been, you know, overcooked. And that's not necessarily so. And that as long as you have a little bit of vitamin D, you can be down the low end of the scale. You're in good place. Well, the thing that is, I got to write this doctor a note simply because she didn't read the, you know, her own medical journals. And in a study published in the Journal of American Medical Association Neurology found that older adults with low levels of vitamin D may lose their memories and thinking abilities much, much faster than those with normal levels. So when it comes to memory loss, you know, Alzheimer's and old age dementia and so forth, guess what's important? Vitamin D and making sure that you get enough of it that your levels are going to go up into an area of protectiveness, which is, by the way, most laboratories measure from 30 to 100 being the normal range. And if so many of your docs say, hey, listen, you know, if you're within those brackets, you're cool. The truth of it is you got to be north of 50 and your target should be about 80, 85. So there's this doc by the name of Joshua Miller at the University of California, Davis campus, and doing all kinds of study in Alzheimer's. Obviously, he heads up the Alzheimer's Disease Center, looked at the association between blood levels of vitamin D and changes in memory and thinking ability. And the study was about 318 plus adults, and he studied them for an average of 5 years. The researchers defined adequate blood levels of vitamin D, 25-hydroxy vitamin D, in the form of vitamin D generated, you know, while the body converts vitamin D, making, you know, skin and some foods and so forth available. Their ranges that they measure were 20 to 50, and, you know, the insufficient levels were saying at 12 and less than 20. So they're going down to the bottom of the fishing pond. They're looking way, way south on this stuff. And these participants, the mean age of 76, these 300 and some odd people, their mean age was 76 and were, you know, they looked at cognitively normal, mildly impaired, and then very straight up dementia. And the researchers found that more than 60% had low vitamin D levels, the ones that I just said, including more than a quarter who had very severe deficiencies. The individuals who had dementia had much lower levels of vitamin D. They were way down in the lower end of the scale that we just talked about. And what they found was that over the course of the study, those with the low vitamin D levels showed an accelerated rate of decline in their memory, their problem solving, their ability to plan, execution, you know, doing things that you normally know how to do, went out the door. So these rates of decline were similar for individuals who had normal brain function at the beginning of the study, and then ultimately became, guess what, not capable, not able, as they studied these people over a period of time. So there's so much out there that we need to be aware of, and I would encourage, you know, we know we have a lot of doctors listening, you know, read, you know, and, you know, give me a call. I'm more than happy to point you in the, you know, the direction that you need to go into. Interesting, you know, those of you know that I'm Mediterranean, right? Well, actually Sicilian. And first generation to this country. And so what do I like? I like olive oil. The darker the greener, the better. And there's all kinds of great stuff out there about olive oil. And, you know, everybody wants a Mediterranean diet, but you think it's starches. It's not. It's about really good fresh foods, about vegetables and fruits and small pieces of meats, you know, nuts and seeds and so forth, and a lot of good olive oil. Well, there was a study in the Journal of American Medical Association, Internal Medicine, that said that olive oil reduces breast cancer among women at risk for cardiovascular disease. Kind of going hand in hand. Where did that all come about? So when I was reading through this, I said, wow, you know, here's this very straight up thing. And they're saying that it significantly lowers the risk of invasive breast cancer. Significantly lowers. And we're talking about the Mediterranean diet, you know, without the starches, the breads, the pastas, the pizzas, you know, the things that you think in this country are Mediterranean, not so much, my friends. It doesn't happen that way. And so they started putting extra amounts of virgin olive oil, extra virgin olive oil in these diets. And the trial included, this is a big trial. It's like 4,300 women who enrolled in this study, and they had to have increased cardiovascular risk and certain other things, and the presence of diabetes, and, you know, it was a mess, right? So after they followed up on these people for almost 5 years, just short of it, about 4.8 years, they found 35 cases of invasive breast cancer that were identified. Well, both Mediterranean diets and those, you know, that really followed that had a much lower risk after they adjusted their diet, down to 68%. So guess what? You guys need to go see Sue, right? Go see Sue in the office and let her straighten you out, because all you got to do is change your consumption of the junk that you're putting in your body. I mean, how simple is that? How simple is that? 888-630-9625. We're going to talk a little bit about epigenetics today, and meaning the environmental impact of what goes on around you and what happens to your body and the aging process and so forth. And here's the deal. It's never too late to live. It's never too late to continue the process, to live your dreams, to not just think about them. You know, so many of us get to a certain place in life, and it's like, what do you expect for your age? Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but I got a whole lot to do on this planet. So there's things that are consistent with many things that are happening. I have a very good friend that, you know, is in that age bracket of, you know, do you hang it up or do you continue to go? Well, this guy is like a crazy man. He's a dentist that I know, and he has more energy than the Energizer Bunny, and I think he's the one that makes the batteries, and he continues the process, right? So he gets into the gym, and this guy works out like 4 to 5 days a week. He's a busy dentist. He's still in active practice, and he's in great shape. So there's a transforming thought process here. And when you look at somebody like him, and then you look at somebody that is parallel to his age, and you see them break down, we see them walk in their office, and they're in pain, and they put up with, and they live with, and what do you expect for your age process, and so forth. You're not stuck with the you that you are right now at this moment in time. You're just not. You're not stuck with you. You want to change something, you have to make a decision to change that. You know, aging can be better put together and useful than what it used to be, but it takes a different you to make a change. It's a different thought process. So if you're willing to shift and change something about what it is that you're doing, guess what? Anything can shift. It's not too late. That's the term that you have to remember. High state of wellness requires you to do something different. It requires you to do something different. What are you willing to do? You're not stuck with you. You know, gerontological studies, you know, the study of as we age, and we're talking about people who are 40 years old and older. That's the parameters that are really used in the stuff. Global Health and Aging was a publication that was written probably about 6 years ago, back in 2011, very heavy hitters were involved in this. People from the National Institute on Aging, National Institute of Health, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, World Health Organization. I mean, we're talking about some big guns here. So why would they get involved? Well, there's so many more of us out there that are getting old. You know, they're meaning age-wise. We're hanging out much longer, right? So we're on a brink of a major shift in demographics. And you know, we're facing a situation that really on this planet hasn't been considered. It's unprecedented before. We soon will have much more of us that are older than children and more at extremely old age than ever before. That centurion mark is now super achievable for many, many people. And we're seeing people live to that age at really in quality. So what are we supposed to do about it? The question becomes this: how long can we stay well? How inevitable, you know, are the frailties of aging process? You know, and are the scientific technologies out there to slow down genetic, you know, destinies, if you will? Do we have to worry about cognitive decline? So here's the deal. No, the answer is no. If you're willing to change something. You know, this year, I had the guts, if you will, to look at my high school Facebook page and my class and so forth. And I had a pretty sizable class of about 685 people. And I'm looking through it and I'm saying, oh my gosh, you know, there's this tab. It's called Deceased. And it took me a while literally I sat there and I looked at this thing for 5-6 minutes before I was willing to push the button. And what I saw was, you know, when I finally did it, was that over 10% of my class is no longer here. So I started looking at the pictures of these people that were gone. Well, there's a majority of those people that are no longer with us that their body tells the story. And their body tells the story of life patterns that they followed up until that moment in time. We're going to get back. We're going to talk about epigenetics because you deserve a whole lot more than perhaps that you're reaching for. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, and I've got a lot to talk to you about today, so don't go away. Call me 888-630-9625. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'm in the studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything that's bugging your health. So let's see if we can turn it around from a natural point of view, give you some ideas that you may not have thought about, and, you know, create it in a way that you have control. Wouldn't that be a nice situation, you know, that you don't have to live with where you are right now? How cool is that? How cool is it to be able to make a decision and do something different than what you're doing today and actually turn things around? I'm in the pain business and not giving it, but trying to get rid of it. And we see all kinds of folks that walk through our doors that have very significant pain problems, and they're persistent and they're chronic and they don't go away and they want to be helped. And so much, and this is a catch-22, it's a vicious cycle, because we do know that pain itself of small things that grow into big things can be a result of your hormones being too low. Your hormones being too low can be a result of inactivity and shutting down and buying into what do I expect for my age. You know, we commonly think as we get, you know, more aches and pains, it's a sign of older age, the arthritic problems that our doctor says we have. But by the way, arthritis means joint space problems that are irritated and swollen or broken down. So one of, you know, a doc that I know, and I almost gave away, you know, the trail on this thing, you know, wishes he could inject testosterone in the joints of, you know, everybody that walks into the his office. And the doctor is rightfully viewing hormonal problems as maybe one of the triggering mechanisms. But here's the catch. It's because of those problems that are persistent and uncorrected over a long period of time that hormones begin to drop, not only for men, but also for women. A lot of the degenerative diseases that we see is because of structural problems having been let go for way too long, and the body begins to break down. Now, remember, when I look at anything, I look at every paradigm from a structural, chemical, emotional platform, and it affects systems of the body. It affects the nervous system. It affects the blood supply. It affects the removal of waste. It affects the acupuncture energetics of the body. It affects spinal fluid function and movement. So we have to take all that in consideration to ask and answer a question. Why? Why did it happen? What's going on? Because if you can't answer that question, you can't fix anything. You're chasing your tail, and you have all these things that, you know, need to be injected or taken or whatever, and you're being maintained by Big Pharma. Let's go to the phone. Susan, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hello. My son, it just turned 50 last month, the end of the month, and he lives in Oregon. He had a surgery for, it was elective surgery, actually, for a hernia operation.
Okay.
A week later, he ended up back in the hospital. He had clots in his lungs. Then after that, they are treating him for that. They put him on a medication. And after that, he has swelling in his right foot, been very, very painful. He's been back in the hospital a couple of times. They say it's gout. He's had gout in the past, but he said this is much different. And it's very, very painful and swollen right at the in the ball of his foot. And now they're going to send him to a rheumatologist, but he is on pain medication until something can be done. Do you have any idea what this would be?
Yeah, Susan, it could be a whole bunch of different things. The fact that he started throwing clots after surgery tells me that his metabolic makeup wasn't as supportive as it should be. And I'm not going to get into it because I don't know your son. I don't know his background, but I'll give you some general guidelines. So here's what happens is that when you go into surgery, your body goes into a repair mechanism, which causes things to begin to clot up locally. But you're putting a mesh in. And I'm going to make the assumption that he had a mesh that was put in and it was sewn in and so forth. So it depends on reactions of all kinds of things, the drugs, his his health before that, his dietary patterns, you know, whether he had high blood sugar. If he had gout, there's problems that can come because of that. Gout typically will affect the big toes and into the feet. But it's easy to find out. If the uric acid level is high, then, or even high, 6 and above on most laboratories is, you know, at the place where you begin to say, things aren't right here. You want it under 6. Mm-hmm. But there's ways of shifting that, and your son really needs to have somebody in that area who practices natural medicine, a doctor of naturopathic medicine, an applied kinesiologist, the kind of work that we do, somebody that does herbal medicine that can guide him through, because if he gets caught into the loop of this thing on an ongoing basis, he's going to continue to perpetuate problems. And, you know, Big Pharma is going to take control here. Susan, I wish I could be much more useful. I'll add to that a little bit when we come back from the break. But he's got to find somebody other than traditional, drug inducement trying to solve a problem. Don't go away. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Call me. Let's talk about your stuff today. Got a lot of things I want to discuss with you, but it's important that we, you know, kind of put you in the direction. My job is to make you think. My job is to make you question everything that is told to you, even the things that I tell you, so you do your own homework and apply it properly. There is no two people that are the same when it comes to fixing anything. Our last caller, Susan, hopefully you're still listening. I want to give you a couple directives relative to your son who had surgery and developed blood clots and perhaps gout, or perhaps it's just a stagnation, a lymphatic problem that's causing that swelling in his leg. But nevertheless, there are things that work quite nicely, and for any of us, sunshine, water, and exercise. Isn't that interesting? So a lot of us, as we talked about in the first half of the program, are vitamin D deficient. And when we are, one of the things that will happen is that we can clot. And so we need to make sure that our vitamin D level is adequate. And I'm not going to tell you what to tell your son because I don't know him. But if he just gets sunshine direct, unfortunately, where he's living up in the Northwest, there's not a lot of direct sunshine this time of the year. So he's going to need to get some vitamin D and get that in. Water, lots of it. We need to drink about a half an ounce of water for every pound of body weight. So, you know, do the math and get him to do that. And then very moderate exercise, something just like walking and stretching is adequate enough to make sure that we break those things down. There's lots that can be done, but that's a start. You know, low levels of vitamin E, but the succinate form. Now, when you look at vitamin D, you'll see alpha tocopherol and or D-alpha tocopherol. Now, what you have to be careful with when you go out and do that is the letter D, like David, if there's an L like Louis next to the D, that tells you it's a synthetic vitamin E. Don't want that. So, and you want a D-alpha tocopherol, not mixed tocopherols. For blood problems, you want something at the end that says succinate form. Generally, 200 to 400 units in a day will begin to help the process. Omega fatty acids, you know, from fish to walnuts to pumpkin seeds and so forth. You don't have to go out and take it, but if you just did that, all the things that we're talking about will help. Olive oil, garlic, onions, all of those things that we normally would eat, those things are useful. Apple cider vinegar in the morning, a little touch of cayenne pepper. Those things are all beneficial in allowing the blood to act normally. Any of the berries, particularly strawberries and cranberries and blueberries, they're also beneficial. So there's much that can be done, but your son, as I said earlier on, needs to have somebody that can work with him. It can be handled, but the more you get into the vicious cycle of medication, it has its own potential of perpetuating a problem that you're trying to get rid of. Ronald, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Yes, Dr. Tom. You talk about hypertension a lot, but I have more hypotension. My blood pressure is usually very low. And just recently I noticed with that postural
orthostatic hypotension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I get up, I get a little uneasy, and then it passes very quickly.
Okay.
But a sequel to that was some at night, before I go to bed, sometimes I have a disturbance in my chest cavity, and I wanted to know if that is related to that. And I do have a history of premature atrial contraction.
Yeah, it's possible. There's a lot of things, Ron, that can cause that. One of the things that you're describing with postural hypotension is, you know, you bend over and you stand up and you get dizzy and you haven't even had the benefit of a drink. Okay, so what happens there is that the tone within the arterial beds are relaxing enough that it's allowing the blood to drop down and out. So when our patients come in, they first see us in the office, we take blood pressure in three positions. We take it sitting, we lay them down, and take it again, and we stand them up and take it again. When you stand up, your blood pressure actually should be a little higher. When it's not doing that, the fight-flight system, the adrenal glands that sit on top of the kidneys aren't kicking in the way they're supposed to. There's a hormone called angiotensin, angio meaning blood vessel tension, like tone. It gives it a little tone so that blood pressure doesn't drop out. It's usually a result of long-term chronic stress patterns or dietary patterns that are not supportive. With that type of condition, you always see patients who are also a little bit of hypoglycemic. One of the things that you can do to help yourself, and it won't hurt you, is get a little bit of sea salt, not regular salt, sea salt. And no more than about an eighth of a teaspoon a day. Just, you know, put it in water, spread it out in your food and so forth. Regular salt can be problematic. Sea salt can be supportive and give you a little tone. Now, with what I just said, there may be much more. It can be an, it could be a problem with your skull and your first cervical vertebrae because there's a nerve, the longest one in your body called the vagus nerve that comes down and influences multiple body systems as well as circulation. In your neck, there's these little, systems called baroreceptors, and they also help regulate blood pressure patterns. So you notice those if you move your head side to side and you get dizzy. That can be from a cervical misalignment. In my business, we call it a subluxation, meaning normal juxtaposition is off. In osteopathic medicine, they call it just a spinal lesion. That has to be corrected. Spinal fluid function, sometimes because the cranial plates, you got 22 bones that make up the skull, can be locked in an abnormal position. So now we're not pushing things through the way we're supposed to. So if you regulate those things, you check out the dietary patterns, you see what the fight-flight system is doing, where you're at right now can be turned around. I hope that's useful to you.
Is that correlated with that chest also around the sternum feeling discomfort there? And it just started with the orthostatic hypotension.
Yes, absolutely, because your body's trying to compensate, and you know the heart and the blood vessels and so forth are trying to. It's almost like a failsafe. Oh, help me out because my blood's dropping down. I'm going to fall flat on my butt again. So, yes, that's part of it. Ron, I hope that's useful to you. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Gina, how can I help you?
Yes. About 14 years ago, my husband was initially diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And then about 7 years ago, it was changed to severe psoriatic symmetrical arthritis. And at this point, he has no cartilage in either of his knees. And his ankles are also compromised. And they're reluctant to do knee replacement surgery, I guess because of his age, and two, because I guess they feel because he's been on prednisone for so long that he may not heal properly.
Yeah, that's very, and their concerns are well taken at this point. But go ahead.
We're just at a place where we're not sure what to do. He has to use crutches. To get around, crutches in the home and wheelchair when we go somewhere, when he leaves the home. And he's gone from being an extremely active person,
not to be able
hiking,
to do anything,
hunting, fishing, kayaking, to now being pretty much wheelchair bound.
Okay, so
go ahead.
No, let me give you some direction on this, because one perpetuated the other. What they both have in common is that it starts in the gut and liver. And then it affects autoimmune reaction throughout the body, which is the thymus, the spleen, and the adrenal system. But your intestinal tract makes up 75 to 80% of your autoimmune reactions in the body. If the gut's not working, or if we're putting things in the body that you're sensitive to, or if the neurological platform to the intestinal system isn't firing adequately, your immune system at that point is crashing. If you have a patient that is sensitive to grains, that autoimmune reaction is going to go south very, very quickly, because there's going to be an inflammatory barrier that's going to occur throughout the intestinal system. When you think about inflammation, think about putting a very fine sheath, a piece of paper across a piece of tissue in your body. And you can't transport across it. You can't get the hormones in. You can't get the, you know, any of the supportive mechanisms that you need to have to put the fire out, to decrease the inflammation. Your fight-flight system, your adrenal glands, constantly are putting out your own steroids to decrease the pain. So in your husband's situation, which you have to look at, you got to ask the question, where were the triggers over a period of years? Were there injuries that were never resolved fully? That's the structural piece. And they could have been subtle and sitting there and, you know, just dealing with and putting up with. Was there biochemical imbalances, things that you eat that you shouldn't eat, things that you need more of you don't get enough of, things that you have exposure to that you're around all the time, runoff, xenoestrogens, and all the free-floating things that we have in our environment. And the third is stress and emotional. And what we have to remember about stress and emotion is that the body doesn't know the difference between something that in fact actually happens and something that you think about or emotionalize. So it could be an injury, could it be a dietary insult, or just the way that your head's running constantly and not sleeping and keeping you awake or in a constant set of stress. Those things are all impactful and they work together. So you look at that and then you look at the systems of the body. We talked about it earlier. You look at the nervous system, make sure it's working, the biochemistry. You have to make sure that the body shifts to alkalinity. You have to look at the energetic platforms, the way the body removes lymph, the spinal fluid function, and so forth. Can things be done to help your husband? Absolutely. In my opinion, he can still get some change, but he's got to repair and rebuild that autoimmune platform, starting with the inside out, starting with the nervous system, bringing the energetics back up. And then there are things that can be done and added to. At that point, you know, even with the knees, there's so much that's being done, but he doesn't have the immune reaction right now to be supportive of that mechanism. But there's things that can be handled. Gina, you can always send me a note at rosellcare.com and, you know, I'll direct you. But it has to be looked at multidimensionally. It has to be looked at from all those pieces simultaneously, not just one at a time. But to begin with, start with cleaning things up. If he's got grains in his diet, get rid of them. Start putting them on more. If they're colorful, he can eat them. Lots and lots of vegetables. Keep the proteins to clean, free-ranged types of animals, free-range eggs and so forth. Get rid of the pork. Get rid of the dairy. Limit meat to very occasionally. I mean, red meat and so forth. You can have it maybe once a week, but it's got to be free-range organic meats. You'll see just doing that, you'll see some changes. Increases water intake. If he's drinking any alcohol, it's got to go south. It's got to get out the window. If he's got a sweet tooth, he's got to stop it, unfortunately. But if you put the body back into a platform where it has the right things available to him, the body will repair. There's only two things that the body does. It either assimilates or it eliminates. So if you stop the assimilation process of things that are not appropriate and supportive, the body will begin to dump them, eliminate them, and create a platform that it can be repaired with. You know, send me a note. I'll happily go back and forth. Better yet, we need to get somebody to take a look at him. Thanks for your call, Gina. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. We're talking about all kinds of very interesting things today, actually. We started out talking about epigenetics, and what that really is how your body responds to environment. We've been talking about some of that already. We're talking about dietary patterns. We're talking about exposures and so forth. Epigenetic has power over the genes. Your environment, your lifestyle, your gut, your food, your structural system, your nerves that come from your body, brain, spinal cord, 31 pairs of nerves off the spine. You have 12 cranial nerves, and they all go places. If those neurological pathways aren't open, if they're not supported properly, then you have a problem. If your dietary patterns are catch-as-catch-can and you know, really don't look to put quality into your intake, you got a problem. So epigenetics is the environmental, structural, chemical, emotional environment over its impact on your genes. You know, we have a new understanding of the genome, meaning that whole study of how you're put together, your personal genes and how they define you, how they make you up, how they create that map, you know, that is you. And, you know, it's important that we understand that if we don't make changes, if we don't shift, that the genes, that make up our code of expression will be altered and falter over a period of time. This is your DNA. This is what you inherited from great Aunt Tilly, from, you know, grandpa, whoever. And you can have the same outcome as they have as long as you continue doing the same things that they did. If you want something different, your genes will change. We know today that in excess of 80%, some authors are saying up to 90% of your predetermined, predisposed genetic pass-throughs can be altered. They can be changed. So that's why I'm a healer. You know, that's why I do what I do. That's why I lecture all over the world to try to get patients, but also doctors, to get this, to understand that it's not a compartmentalized situation, that we can make changes in people. Our DNA can be pointed in different directions than what we seem to have as our predesigned, predetermined, predestined outcome. Our cells do what we tell them to do. They don't act on their own. You have to remember that. Our cells do what we tell them to do. They don't act on their own. So we've got to deliver the right message to our genes. But that's not the end of the story. I mean, there's so much. Epigenetics, you know, is the process. And here's what I want you to understand, whereby instructions from your genes can be altered or modified. So we've talked about a little bit about the how, but the truth of it is how does it do this? The modifiers, the silencers, the exaggerators, the dampeners, all those things can be controlled by you. There's so much in this area that is intriguing. There's so much that we see on a day-to-day basis. We see people with MS and Parkinson's and so forth turn their lives around because they make a decision to do something differently. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live, and hopefully you're getting a little different insight than you did when we started the program today. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizzo here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live in studio. 888-630-9625. That's how you find me every Sunday, 12 noon. On the Eastern Seaboard, those of you out on the West Coast, you do the math, and those of you listening in other ways, and Armed Forces Radio, and on the computer, and so forth, thank you for listening in, and tell everybody where we're at, and tell them that this program is designed for you, to make you think, to make you question, because the more you question, no matter whether it's me or anybody else, the more you really get to see both sides of the issue and then fit it accordingly. So educate yourself. Educate yourself at a level where you really get it, you really understand it, because guess what? You're very smart people. You can, you know, you can walk through it. Just don't buy into somebody just because they say it, okay? You know, we're talking about epigenetics. We're talking about a lot of things that are very important. I'm going to touch upon one subject that we could spend the rest of three programs on, and that's women with BRCA1 mutations, you know, that can cause breast cancer. It's a very dangerous breast gene, and they're saying that 60-80% increased risk of developing breast cancer in these women over their lifetime. Well, there was a one of the guys that was involved in this, Dr. Narod, who was the co-discoverer of BRCA1 and BRCA2 markers, but this goes back to 1994-95. He did some research with a whole lot of folks, a lot of the research was done overseas in Poland, you know, with women who had the BRCA1 markers. And he showed that these women overseas actually had a 46% lower risk of actually getting breast cancer than women in North America. So what you should say at this point is, why is that? Why is that? Why do they have a BRCA1 marker, and ladies in this country, you have a BRCA1 marker, and they have a 46% lower risk of actually getting the problem? Well, here's the deal. Women in Poland eat, walk, and live differently than we all do here in this country. They don't have genetically modified foods. Their foods are better grown because they're not mass-produced, because they just can't do it over there. And so they, you know, lifestyle has a huge impact on what happens to us. People who are overseas and don't have the pollution, they drink a little bit of wine. Guess what? That significantly lowers the risk. Now we're talking about half a bottle a night. We're talking about, you know, maybe 6 ounces, and, you know, with a meal once a day. And they found that that in fact lowers the genetic markers as far as their expression in those countries. So what we're looking at is a difference in lifestyle for some people around the globe than we have in Western society. We really need to get that and take it to heart because it's important. It's important that we understand that sometimes our health simply is a do-it-yourself program. By the way, the name of my book, for those of you who have it, and those of you who don't, get it, because you need to understand that your health is in your hands. Your health is about the decision, the choices that you make and have been making up until now. So if that's true, then what's the difference between you and resolution of a condition? It's a choice. It's getting out of your own headspace and saying that, well, it's not convenient for me to do whatever it needs to do. I can't get up and I can't exercise. Well, you can stretch while you're in the shower. You can meditate or prayer. You can go for a walk. Instead of taking the elevator in your building, walk the stairs up and down and do it a couple times a day. And if you're on the fourth floor, walk to the fifth and come back down one. Increase the ante over a period of time. There is so much that you can do to change your lifestyle. Eat colorful, don't eat grains. Eat whole foods, eat foods that are supportive. And if you need some help, guess what? Pick up the phone, call Sue at the Results Center for Healing. She can help you with that. If you have pain patterns that don't go away, call one of the doctors. They're brilliant. They're good guys. We're coming up to that sad end of the program. The time I got to go away till next week. This is for you. This is to educate you, to motivate you, to get you to question the status quo. I love you all. See you next time. Bye.